Today's April 7th, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $27,935.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another day, another week gone.
Yeah, yes, sir. Good Friday.
Yes.
Good Friday, and thank God it is Friday. And it was a beautiful day today. Were you off today?
I had part of the day off.
Yeah, I took a half day. Most of my team was off, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to work half a day because I've got to be off Thursday and Friday next week. So I worked till noon, and then I kind of pediddled around the house.
Yep, I did about the same.
So, it's been a little bit since we talked. I think it's been a little bit over a week. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Probably getting closer to two, but you know, we were putting out episodes as things were looking pretty shaky.
Yeah, and they seem like they got some duct tape right now, but I don't know how long that's going to hold.
Yep. Everything's held together by baling wire and bubble gum, as far as I can tell.
It's a sheer confidence game at this point, right?
Yep.
We were going to kind of touch on this, and we won't go too far into it, but the core inflation rate, I mean, this is coming from the European Central Bank. They expect it to rise higher, so they're expecting to raise interest rates again. I guess we're not shocked by that. We've talked about that. I was hoping for a pause or at least a stop. I think the Fed may stop, but we'll have to see. I mean, we got CPI numbers that are going to be coming out shortly. I know that there was supposed to be some GDP numbers for the end of Q4 for 2022 that were supposed to be released last week or the end of this week, but I haven't seen them. Did you ever see them?
Nope.
Sorry, I was going way off cusp. Like, that was not the thing to talk about at all, but I know that those numbers were supposed to be out, but I never saw what they were. So just kind of curious about that. So we will be talking about interest rate hikes and inflation, probably closer to CPI numbers getting printed for March here pretty soon. So go ahead.
Just going to say, that's kind of crazy, though. I mean, technically Q1 of 2023 is over, and we still don't have the final results of Q4 2022.
Yeah, I don't know if it takes a whole quarter. I don't know if that's like typical reporting structure.
I don't know. You know me, I'm very pessimistic, and I just don't trust any of the official numbers, even when they do come out. So them pulling it back, I mean, maybe they're just working extra overtime to fudge the numbers a little bit harder. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I went on ahead and looked it up real quick. They're saying we hit it 2.6% for Q4.
Yes.
So positive. That whole rewriting the rules thing, whatever. We did have, like, we wanted to talk about, because we kind of started to bring this up in the last episode, BRICS. And this is something that's been on the horizon for a while, yeah?
Yeah, well, I mean, what BRICS stands for, Brazil, Russia, well, there's a few different, India, Iran's part of it now, China, and is that actually South Africa?
South Africa, yeah.
So, they've been kind of talking about the things as far as, you know, they're making deals with Russia to buy their oil in yuan. And they're floating the idea of a gold-backed currency system. They're basically moving away from SWIFT.
Yep.
Well, I mean, when Russia invaded Ukraine, basically the SWIFT banking system, they basically froze Russia's dollars, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say at the time we did talk about that because the ruble plunged, right? it plummeted. And within, like, they had a nice V-shaped recovery. Within a few days, the ruble was back above, or at least prior to the invasion, those levels that they were trading at from before, right?
Yep. Right.
Now, I think you and I, we were both listening to a podcast where a guy was saying, well, we don't know. I mean, Russia's just putting up whatever numbers they want.
Yep. And honestly, I do believe that their numbers are faker than anything, because if they've been cut off from most of the world except China and, you know, I guess the BRICS nations, anything where they're showing growth, I mean, how can you believe them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when you look at the BRICS situation, you think of countries like El Salvador, right, that gets underfoot of, you know, the American dollar, and then they can get out from underneath it. Or, you know, you get something in the, like the EU, where Greece, you know, where they just completely lost all their economic navigation, right? And like, you had the hyperinflation going on throughout the country. You know, it makes it to where these smaller, smaller countries, it's probably definitely appealing to get out from underneath the foot, basically, of the U.S. government.
For sure.
You know, when they're basically still standing on their throats. So, I don't know. I mean, and there's been major moves happening in Saudi Arabia, right, with this?
Yes. I think China's basically gotten an agreement with Saudi Arabia to start purchasing oil in yuan, however you say that. But, I mean, that's kind of where all of our value with the dollar comes from. I mean, when they, Bretton Woods, I mean, quick history, Bretton Woods after World War II, you know, we became the world reserve currency, and all our gold is supposed to be backed, or all our money is supposed to be backed by gold.
Right. We were supposed to keep a gold standard in place.
Yep. And then a lot of people called our bluff, Nixon, you know, because basically we were printing money like crazy with the Great Society programs under Johnson. And it's not like Nixon was rolling back regulation. I mean, he helped create the EPA and OSHA and those type of departments. So, you know, when the country started calling our bluff, he basically took us off the gold standard, but he made that deal with Saudi Arabia. That's where they'd only sell oil in dollars.
Yeah.
Which gave our country the backing. So the fact that that's getting undone right now, I mean, that's a pretty scary thing. And, you know, BRICS is, you know, those countries are talking about creating a gold-backed currency that they're going to deal with. So,
yeah,
I mean, right now, I don't think our dollar is, I wouldn't, you know, declare that the dollar is dead just yet. But if they're able to uproot the dollar, it's going to be pretty scary, because I don't know if there's ever been a currency quite like the dollar, like a fiat currency that's dominated the whole world for basically 80 years now.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, the kind of the scary thing about it is that, although, like, I mean, this is just, it's smaller countries, but I mean, the oil part of it is the big part of it, right? That's the terrifying part for us. Especially if they're able to get enough countries that kind of get on board. You know, we had a big, one of our big allies, Japan, right? They've been talking about, well, we'll do whatever, but that's because they have to.
Yes.
So, you know, they may still go that route where they're going to get their oil from Russia and they're going to use the yuan. You know, there's a lot of things that are kind of terrifying with that. And I guess right now, currently, it's reported that they may have a new financial agreement, and it could be seen as soon as in August when they kind of meet their annual sessions in South Africa. Sources have disclosed that Russia is behind the idea, as it has faced economic sanctions from the West over the invasion of Ukraine. And I mean, obviously, it's two of our most, I wouldn't say they're necessarily, they're not allies for sure, but both China and Russia, we're not on the best footing right now in the United States with those, either one of those countries, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Russia, what do they have to lose at this point?
They have everything to gain.
yeah. nothing to lose, basically.
Yeah, they're already basically cut off from the current economic situation from the world, right? From the Western world. And China, they've been playing their cards really well. China's been slowly just building up and building up and building up and building up. And I guess I can't even say slowly. They've been doing it pretty quickly. And they know what they want. They want power. And the United States wants power too, and they've had it for a long time. And I think that they're being not so smart with the way that they do things globally and at home.
Well, if you look at America, I mean, just the West in general, they've been so successful that, and you just look at the cultural bickering that's going on in America. Yeah. I mean, the decadence is just in your face.
Oh, it's out on display, right? Like, it's
like,
go ahead.
It's insane. It's insane. Like, I mean, just the fact that Bud Light and the controversy that's going on with that. I mean, I don't even care about that, but just the fact that that's what's happening in America just goes to show that we've kind of lost the plot.
Yeah. And I feel like I always go back to the Hunger Games. Like, we have become the capital in a lot of ways in the United States. Like, yep. You've seen those movies, right? Like, the decadence that's in the capital and just the way that people live. And I mean, at the same time, I'm not saying that everybody in America lives wealthy, right? I mean, but we do have it so easy in so many ways because we can worry about such insignificant crap.
Yep. For the time being, at least.
Yeah, for the time being. And I think that's going to be the scary thing is that wake-up call, right? Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
But you know, I think hard times are the only thing that's going to cure that.
No, I agree. I completely agree. It depends on how hard the times are going to go. I don't want to go through nuclear holocaust is what I'm saying.
No. But I just want to erase the word microaggression from our vocabulary, because if you're concerned about microaggressions, you've not really faced any real problems in your life.
Yeah, I mean, if at that point you have to worry about the comment that somebody makes completely innocently, just because that's the way that they've always spoke, whatever, and it bothers you or irks you in some way, and you get to worry about that, I should tell you something.
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with this. We're going to have to keep an eye on this BRICS situation. And what would be scary, and I don't think they're going to do it, but what would be scary is if they adopted Bitcoin. What if they adopted Bitcoin as that rather than gold?
And, you know, I just, I think, no, here's the crazy thing. I don't think they would do that. Just because I think the world's gold supply is a lot easier to control than Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And especially with like the nature of Bitcoin, that can be tracked if people are collecting it or nations are collecting it. But I bet money that a lot of these countries have been silently collecting gold for years in preparation for this.
Yeah.
Specifically Russia and China.
Well, and there's been multiple reports out of China, and I don't know how true they are or not, that a lot of their gold was fake. Did you remember that?
I do remember that.
The problem is I don't trust China as far as I can throw them. Like, I never know what is real coming out of that country.
Yep, I can't disagree with you. I mean, I don't trust our government, but when it comes to governments that have way more, even more blood on their hands than ours. I mean, the Chinese Communist Party killed like upwards of 100 million people when they took power.
Yeah.
Of their own people. So.
I mean, and I think China, well, who knows too, like President Xi, he's not long for this world, and neither is Putin for that matter, and neither is Biden, right? Like, I mean, those guys, they're old, all of them. They're all old.
Yeah.
And I don't know how what that looks like for Xi, how long he'll be able to control power in China. He's done a pretty good job so far, but of staying in power. I can't say he's doing a good job of whatever he's doing. And maybe he's doing a good job. I mean, it seems like they've gotten pretty big in their britches over the past 20 years or so.
Well, I know. I kind of agree with you. The first part where he's been good at consolidating power. They've been good at projecting power. Now, how much of that is
legit?
Reality versus just, games with numbers, like kind of the ruble. I mean, the ruble came back, but how?
Yeah. Yeah, like how was that number reported?
Yeah.
What's interesting, too, about that whole thing with China, too, is, you know, if you look at Japan, Japan's been doing a lot more in the way of the Belt and Road type initiatives than what China has been doing, and at better interest rates.
Well,
it's never talked about, right? Like what Japan's been doing, because they're not an adversary, at least not to the United States currently. But and I don't think Japan would either. I think right now they're a really good ally to have in our pocket, especially in Asia. So I don't know. But then I mean, even with them, it's talking about joining the BRICS or taking part in that whole type of thing. It's kind of scary. So, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. There was a couple things that I wanted to touch on, too, because we've already kind of gone longer than what I was expecting. But we talked about this probably about 3 months ago about the XRP lawsuit from the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of speculation that should be ending here rather quickly and that it's probably going to be for the positive for XRP or Ripple, I should say. So if that happens, that's actually good for alternative coins. We've kind of talked about that, right? Like if Ripple loses this lawsuit, then any altcoin is done. Like if they're not going to exist. But if they can pull this off, they should be doing okay. But the crazy thing that's coming out of theirs is it looks like there's some fishy stuff with JP Morgan and the former SEC chair that was in power at the time whenever the lawsuit began. And it was like his last day in office or the last week of him being in office, he brought this lawsuit against Ripple for basically selling an unsanctioned security. So we'll have to kind of see how that plays out and kind of see what comes out in those court documents. But if so, I mean, that's going to be a pretty powerful blow to the SEC, especially because it seems like they've been way too big for their britches lately.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
I mean, if they don't say anything and it's just like it's all quietly goes away, that'll be kind of interesting too. But I think the SEC, like they have actually requested more money from Congress to continue to their fight against crypto, even though they're already like a huge sinkhole for money. So we will see what that plays out.
Yep. I mean, my fingers are crossed. I mean, I'm kind of more of a Bitcoin maximalist, but I think there's definitely a place for the alternative coins really in the ecosystem. So
I think I'm more of a maximalist for Bitcoin. And as time goes on, like there was a time where I was a Bitcoin maxi and then I was like, oh, I think I got greedy. And I was like, oh yeah, no, other cryptos are great. But then as time has gone on, I'm like, really? Bitcoin's really the only one that I really, truly trust.
Yep.
And I think it really is probably the one that only, really the only one that needs to exist. But I do see where there could be some positive things on the horizon for some other cryptos. And I don't want to see the innovation be stifled by idiots.
Yeah. On government bureaucrats.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. For people getting paid in the back room to, I shared this before the podcast began, and this is just speculation on my part, but I think what's happening is that the crypto market has become so big so quickly that these major institutional players got caught with their pants down and now they're trying to play catch up. And so you're seeing like the Coinbases come under attack, Binance coming under attack, Ripple coming under attack, all these attacks taking place. And part of it was, the FTX attack or their idiotness, whatever. Like, I think it was all kind of orchestrated to make Bank of America's, your JP Morgan's, your Charles Schwab's, all those financial guys get to come in and be like, well, we're going to be the saviors for crypto. We're going to do it the right way. And I think they want their slice of the pie.
Right. You know, well, they just don't want to get run over by the new thing, right?
Yeah. They missed the boat, or the boat already pulled out to harbor. There were already players in the game. They're like, well, we're going to sink those ships so we can be the ones that are running it.
Yeah, I totally see that.
Yeah. That's what I'm seeing right now. And that's what I'm feeling. So anyways, just to kind of end it on a little bit of a higher note, there are currently now, for the first time in history, right around 1 million addresses greater than one Bitcoin.
That's kind of interesting.
How many people are in the world? 7.2 billion? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
7.6, something like that.
Something like that.
And now there's 21 million Bitcoin out there. We know for sure. I just heard the report the other day. There's 6 million Bitcoin that are lost for all time. And now 1 million people have at least one Bitcoin, if not more. I mean, that's just at least the bare minimum of 1 million, right? Or one Bitcoin for 1 million people. They could have more than that. But that means that there's not that much of the pie left for everybody else as this kind of continues.
Right. And we'll see how held together everything is, you know, from the shaky foundations. Because, I mean, you know, the beginning of February, if we were to say, hey, Bitcoin's going to be at, you know, trading at, what is it now, 28?
Yeah, almost 28,000. Just right around there. It's been pretty range-bound. Like, it's been for the past, oh, man, what, we saw a high of 29,000 the other day, 29,183. A low of 27,241. Like, it's been kind of within that range.
So, yeah.
And I don't know what it's waiting on. I don't know if it's just that 29,000 is too hard of a level, because it seems like, you know, 29,500 is kind of that big get through point. But we got to see it punch through it and keep it.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty rough ceiling. Psychologically, 30,000 is a big deal. So,
yeah.
I think there's going to have to be some more financial earthquakes, basically, to push it past that.
Well, and we're seeing right now, like, I mean, not that I want to get into technical analysis, but I mean, we're coiling down right now. Like, the volatility is becoming super small. Could be just because we're going into a holiday weekend, but like, that range is getting really tight. So either we're going to see a breakout or we're going to see a breakdown. So I wouldn't be surprised if we go back down to about 26,000-25,000. But then again, I could be completely wrong. We could pop up to above the 30 mark. So,
yep.
And then one last thing I wanted to kind of touch on before we kind of went away is the white paper apparently is stored on every Mac sold since 2018.
Which is kind of funny.
That is very funny. And it's very well hidden. It took them until now to find it.
Yeah. 5 years later.
Yeah. So I hopped on the wife's Mac because she's got one, and I did the commands to find it, and yep, there it is. It's on there. Buried. So somebody at Apple, like, you know, I don't think it was anything from the CEO or anything like that. I think it was just one of the programmers. When they're developing the operating system, like, they're like, yep, we're going to leave this in here. Easter egg.
For sure. It was some low-level guy who was working on it. He's like, huh. Check this out, baby.
Yep. He's like, and I guarantee he's told a few people. And now it's public knowledge. And we kind of talked about it before, and I put a little tweet in the Discord about it, or I guess a GIF, whatever you want to call it. Anyways. Craig Wright is going to attempt to sue Apple for having his white paper on their computers. Good luck with that one. I hope it goes away.
Indeed.
Was there anything else you wanted to bring up tonight?
I think that's it for now.
Yeah, we'll have to kind of play some things out. We'll see. We should be getting CPI numbers again here pretty soon, so we'll have to regroup and talk about that then. Bitcoin price action, it's been pretty boring, honestly. It's just kind of sideways chop going on, so we'll see where that plays out. But thank you all for listening, and as more things fall apart, we'll let you know.
Okay. Indeed.
Bye.